Welcome to Extra Points. Now here's your host, Cousin Sal, and his pal, Dave Damashek.
All right, welcome to the Extra Points Podcast, part of the Extra Points Podcast Network. Cousin Sal coming to you with his good, good pal, Dave Damashek, on this Monday, February 8th, the saddest sports day of the year. It is. I'm sorry, Dave. Super Bowl was yesterday. It's the day after the Super Bowl, the longest we'll have till the next football game. Ended it. We're not unfamiliar with the ending of yesterday. Tom Brady wins a Super Bowl, and here we are left with no football the next day. Do you feel that way professionally? I'm happy with football. I'm glad they got to the finish line. I'm proud of them. We were lucky to have Brady versus Mahomes and everything turn out the way it did. But for God's sakes, now 6 more months of winter.
Yeah, it's grim stuff. It's hard to put a positive spin on it that as we sit here right now, we're as far away from seeing fresh football as we can possibly be. But here's the good news, Sal.
Tell me.
Since I just said that, we're 4 seconds closer to football. So think about
all
that.
Right.
And here's the other thing.
Oh, what about now? Now we're even another extra 3 seconds.
Like maybe, right, somewhere like that, right.
So see, strange how this
look
works.
At this. We could just sit here. Let's just sit back and wait. Like, we could just sit here and look.
Believe
guess
me,
what?
I would love to. I would
guess
love
what?
To do that.
5 seconds closer. Here comes football. It's going to be here before you know it. Listen, this the big takeaway is, as they say, let's not be sad it's over. Let's be happy it happened. We had a football season. And guess what, everybody? If you haven't looked at the calendar because of these weird times we live in, we're into mid-February now all of a sudden. Thank you, football. Once again, sports fans win. Why? Because we watch sports. All these people who the annual event, the bizarre event of taking to social media or otherwise to decree, I don't know who's in the Super Bowl. Good for you, you
to hell
myopic
with those people.
Weirdo.
Forget those people. This podcast is not for those people.
I agree. Who are these weirdos who love to announce that you don't care about something? It's the same thing as whatever. Star Wars people, whatever. The Kardashians. Hey, before you continue this conversation, I just want it on the record. I'm apathetic about the subject matter. Like, how narcissistic must you be to want to weigh in and to want to willfully not know about a tentpole item in pop culture? Fine. Those people are gone. I pity them. We have sports. We're on the right side of the ledger,
Sal. Also, it plays to their, look, it's something for everything. Okay, you don't like football? Do you like The Weeknd? Do you like funny commercials? We're trying to get there for you somehow, right? Maybe you don't have to invest 4.5 hours like we do.
Good point.
Analyzing every play, but there's nothing else like it. The Bachelor finale doesn't have anything for me in it, right? But they really try to hit on everything. It's a big entertainment thing. I have funny people. We have funny friends who hit me up with texts on the Super Bowl, don't care about the game. I'm like, can I have the over-under on Tom Brady's it's like, don't be funny. This is crazy. It's just like what you like. I like the Super Bowl. I'm missing football.
Well, but Sal, again, look. We had football. It carried us all the way, and we're here in Southern California, so that's one thing. We're all shut in, and thank goodness that we've had football for these last, whatever it's been, 4 or 5 months. But also, especially, shout out to everybody in the northern climes of these United States and otherwise. I mean, listen, you got through the winter.
Yes.
One of the worst winters ever.
Kind of,
not even over yet, but look, thank you, football, and guess what? Basketball and hockey, take it from here. I'm ready for that. I spent Saturday night. I hear.
It's all listen, right. It's fine.
I know.
We'll
it's
get
too
into
soon.
That.
It's too soon.
Let's talk
but
about
Steph
this
Curry
game.
And Luka shooting it out on Saturday night.
Yeah, great. That's
Puck.
Great.
March Madness is coming up soon, Sal. Right. We got sports. We're in good shape. We got
I'll
something to look forward to.
I'll get there. I got to mourn.
I know.
I have to mourn today. 31-9. The Bucks beat the crap. They beat the crap out of the Chiefs. They really did. And I'm not going to say I predicted this. You and I had the Bucks to win this game. No way we thought it would go like this, right? Let that be the disclaimer right now. But my God, I think it's mostly due to defense. I think my bad beat was just some of these defensive players not winning MVP. You sat with one, Dave. he sang a song. You have it on Twitter. How about that? You and Devin, you want to go into that? Was that during the draft?
Yeah, at the draft. Yeah, we interacted with a lot of guys who ended up playing significant roles this postseason in this Super Bowl. But yeah, me and Eddie Spaghetti, and we got an up-and-coming Nashville star because we were in Nashville for the draft. Mm-hmm. After all, we figured we'd market in song. These were up-and-coming football players meeting an up-and-coming country western star. And we, you know, did a little off-the-cuff singing with Devin White. And so it was nice to see him in the winner's circle picking that ball off. Tom Brady had to be the MVP. Given the way things broke there, but it would be cool if there was some way. We talked about it last week. Randy White and Harvey Martin split an MVP award back in Super Bowl 12. But I was kind of thinking in a way.
Why did he have to be MVP? He's going to get enough accolades, right? Why did he? I know he had three touchdowns, but in what universe would a defensive player ever win MVP if not for holding the Chiefs to under 10 points?
I hear you. I think it's got to be the whole defense. I think it's got to be. Who do you give it to? Like, you say you're not going to claim, success on your pregame pick. 31-9. Nobody saw that, but we did say, and it's funny, as I scroll through social media and watch the morning shows the day after and all of this, it's amazing how high a percentage of people saw this one coming, but they didn't tell you that the people who picked the Chiefs nevertheless did tell you, look out, Chiefs fans. You don't have an offensive line.
Okay.
Then why did you pick the Chiefs, everybody? Everybody saw this one coming, except that they didn't mention it or talk about it.
This is your buddy and my buddy, Jeff Schwartz, you're talking about here. And well, it's got to start with him because he was an offensive lineman. He went on record saying this is... He can't remember a more decimated offensive line heading into a Super Bowl. If you're going to say that, you have to support your unit and its importance to the game and not pick the Chiefs by 11 points, right? We will get Jeff Schwartz to answer this. I know he's tired. He did 47 straight hours of props for Fox yesterday. But I thought that offensive line was terrible. Mahomes didn't have a chance. Why not give it to Devin White? 8 tackles, an interception. Someone like that. I know Winfield had a pick, lots of sacks there. Barrett had a sack, could have had a couple. Sue had a sack and a half. Choose between one of them. Does it have to be Brady? We're going to hear about Brady for the next 2 weeks.
I know it's dismissive to, or whatever, marginalizes the individuals on the defense. But to me, that the answer is just give it to the defense. I mean, this is in 55 Super Bowls. Mm-hmm. This is now only the third team to not score a touchdown, the Dolphins against your Cowboys in 6 and the Rams just a couple of years ago against the Patriots only scratched out field goals. But okay, 3 field goals by Butker. That's it from the Chiefs. This is crazier than when the Raiders beat Washington in Super Bowl 18, because at that point that was the best offense pro football had ever seen. And they completely smothered that one. This is worse, better, however you want to look at it. And no offensive line will be the excuse coming out of this one. 3 field goals. That's all Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce and all the rest of them and the greatest to ever do it.
Oh, people. You talk about gambling wise. Everybody had Kelce will score. Hill will score. Mahomes over 2.5 touchdown passes. Over, over, over. Everyone had every prop over. I got sucked in. I bet Kelce yards under, and that just ended up being a catch-up garbage time. Matthew Stafford just he just obliterated my under there. But Dave, depending on where you had it, 20-1, 40-1, 60-1. I think FanDuel had 20-1 that the Chiefs don't score. Can you imagine cashing in on that? How much would we have laughed at someone on Friday if they said the Chiefs don't score a touchdown? You're burning your money. 20, even at 20 and 40 and 60 to 1.
I want to say very quickly, because I like to pat myself on the back and I'm vain. Yeah. Couple things. Who talked up Eddie Spaghetti? If I didn't say it on Extra Points, you know I said it on -3 repeatedly over the last couple of weeks. I said Devin White, Lavonte David, the key figures in this game. They will slow down, not take away Travis Kelce, but they will marginalize his impact on the game. And I said, it is not a meaningless thing that Patrick Mahomes has no offensive line. That's the reason the Buccaneers are going to win the game. And so they did. All right. I didn't get the score quite right, but I was spot on with those predictions.
Well, Todd Bowles only blitzed once, only blitzed five times the whole game. He only sent an extra guy five times. And that was a classic how the Giants beat the Patriots. Let your front three, let your front four do the work. And that's it. And if they can make Mahomes scramble, Bowles said himself, he's like, if I send an extra guy, Mahomes is going to find something underneath. And then that guy's going to beat our guy in a foot race. So we're going to stay away from that. And it worked, man. They had him scrambling. I'm like, God, he was like, when he's like rolling back and he's like now 20 yards back, like in the pocket, like this is, I don't know what game it would be, but like Sega Genesis, where you would drop your quarterback all the way back and let it fly and it would be complete because the game was flawed. Mahomes didn't have a chance there. I just can't believe what happened there. It's funny because I go two ways here. This was the Brady's greatest, most meaningful Super Bowl run. And yet it was mostly due to defense, I thought. So how could both of those be true? I really do think it's his greatest, most meaningful Super Bowl run in that I don't know that you'll ever see a quarterback A beat the likes of Breeze, Rodgers, and Mahomes. 1, 2, 3. Gets the monkey off his back with the Belichick thing. 43 years old. There's the ageism thing he's fighting. So much going on there. I think it's as great. I think if you injected his kale shakes with truth serum, he would have to tell you that this is maybe not his favorite, but most meaningful of all Super Bowl runs.
Oh, I think that the older these guys get, the more it means to them. So yes, personally, I bet Brady would say that. But yes, we can't distinguish this desire to separate Brady and the teams he's on and try and insinuate at least that he somehow is lucky at this point is just the craziest thing in the world. Yes, the defense was great. And, you know, reminder that he didn't win with Randy Moss. He never won a Super Bowl with Randy Moss. That kind of stands out too, that it's not like he was just a passenger along with all these dominant players around him. Yeah, I mean, it's just it's hard to really fathom the 20 plus years of his career. I mean, just because it is historic, there is no comparison for it. Not Michael Jordan, not Bill Russell, not any other North American athlete
LeBron?
That we've ever seen.
I mean, it's just 13%.
There's not a comparison for it.
He's won 13% of all Super Bowls.
It's
crazy.
It's just the kookiest crap I've ever seen. And I don't know how to sort of categorize what we're seeing here, except to say that there is no comparison for it. But about the game specifically, you know, Mahomes, what you could say is as a Chiefs fan, and people don't want to hear when the margin of victory is that big about the calls and everything towards the end of the first half. But also, you know, the ball hit Tyreek Hill in the face at one point on a spectacular play by Mahomes. And there are a couple of plays. I love the what if this had happened, what if that had happened. There are a couple of plays where Mahomes makes Mahomesian plays. He is the only one on the planet Earth who could make those plays, save maybe Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen.
Oh, yeah. Well, that one where he's parallel to the ground and again hits a receiver in the face mask, just flinging it like 35 yards.
That hit Williams because it skipped off.
Right.
But the one to Tyreek Hill is another one where he just kind of, I mean, I can say confidently that I've never seen an NFL quarterback elude a pass rusher, kind of look at him laterally 4 feet away from him, shoulder juke him a couple of times, and then flick the ball kind of Kent Tekulve style 40 yards on a wire, and it hits Tyreek Hill in the face. If that is caught for a touchdown, then that's like, well, and you know, then who knows how the game
I'm with
flows
you. They're back
in
it there.
Forward.
They're back in it there. But let me get this in before I forget. We had our extra points, extra chance our contest, where if you had a bad beat on a FanDuel ticket, you're eligible for $5,555. Our friend Harry is going to drive out and hand it to you in person. He'll have a mask on and hopefully a shirt, and he's going to hand it to you in person. Now, we've only had a few submissions that I batted an eye to. Most of them have Tyreek Hill to score a touchdown on a parlay that they lost. And Dave, I agree. The one that hit him in the face, the zone was flooded a little because he and Kelsey had to improvise. So they're both in the same fifth of the end zone there, and there's some face guarding going on. So when it hits, it would have been a tough catch, but definitely one we've seen him make. That appears on a lot of the parlays that we're considering, but hit us up at Extra Points Pod, at Extra Points Pod. I'm going to open this up for a couple more hours. I feel if you have offensive linemen to score at 20-1 odds on a parlay or straight bet, I will consider that very seriously as one was dropped in the end zone there. But anything that you feel is a bad beat, bad enough for us to consider, just hit us up at Extra Points Pod, and we may be sending Harry your way, Dave. But okay, let's talk about it. Brady can't be considered lucky, but he did get some calls. He got lucky in the Tyreek Hill drop. And then that last drive before half, which is where I think they lost it. I really do think they lost it. Why they're calling timeout the Chiefs on 3rd and 2. That's just, if you're going to say on 3rd and 2 from what, the 37 or whatever it is, who's more likely to score points there in that situation? It's got to be the Bucs, right? So why would you call timeout?
You felt that in real time?
I thought I thought that timeout was weird. I was like, why are they doing that? If they go to the locker room 14-6, that's a plus, I think, for them. It really could have been worse than 14-6. Could have been better, obviously, as you say, with Tyreek Hill. And then the floodgates opened. Then the referees fell apart. I don't know what happened. Evans called twice, drawing pass interference calls. I have not seen, I talked about this on Simmons yesterday. I don't know what happened to uncatchable. They dropped that rule. Have we seen it at all this year? Did they drop it and I don't know about it?
Because I have not seen it. Yeah, I didn't see the hand. In the conversation for most exotic official signal is when the official waves his hand over his head to say it's uncatchable. Safety, of course, is still number one. But
all year I haven't seen that, and let alone yesterday when the ball's bouncing and then they throw the flag and the ball, and then Brady throws one through the uprights and they throw a flag on the pass interference in the end zone. Poor Eddie Spaghetti's family, they were in a pool, not eligible for the $5,555. Did you know this, Dave? If Tampa Bay, jump on here, Spaghetti, if Tampa Bay kicks a field goal before the half rather than getting a touchdown, how much do the Spaghettis win, Eddie?
We would have had $15,000 if it was 7-6 at halftime. That was, yeah, half the pool or close to it.
Holy crap. Really? And what chunk of that do you get? The Spaghetti family? Your mom, yeah. Everybody was in on this?
My parents, we all chipped in a certain amount. So
I see.
I would have had a cut, but no longer. So that was a bad one. And the worst part too was because we did the halftime hit. So with Sal and like you weren't like flat out congratulating me, but it was like getting exciting.
I was congratulating on that first pass interference when they have the ball first down at the 25-yard line and there's 10 seconds left at the time. And then they added a few seconds. So it's 13. I'm like, all right, they got one shot at the end zone. No, boy, now they have two plays, maybe three plays and another pass interference and put that in. We felt horrible for you, Eddie.
Well, wait a second. So, I mean, I was going to make my case, but this maybe trumps it. I mean, Eddie Spaghetti shouldn't be visited by Harry with the $5,500 check, but maybe he should be as a consolation prize. But then again, just for the record, Eddie Spaghetti at least now is on to 2021 and Daniel Jones and look out. Next stop, Lombardi, probably. Now, in my home, at the exact same time, when Butker kicked that field goal to make it 14-6, I fell into the magic squares. We were, we were in a squares pool, me and Jean-Claude Van Damischek.
How many of you were in it? The whole family or just two of you get 50 squares?
No, it was some pals in Chicago and we were doing, and if that had stuck the 14-6, we would have won $1,000 and Jean-Claude Van Damischek was over the moon at the prospect of this, living and dying, watching it. And it was horrific to see. And yes, the uncatchable ball thing. I do think that, what a killer. I mean, it's the Joe Flacco special. And really, if there's a rule change, I know everybody obsesses over fumbling the ball through the end zone, but it happens so rarely. It's not, and I know Browns fans are sick about it, but, that rule should change and it does swing games and everything. But the bigger one is change PI to a 15-yard penalty. You know, when that swung the game, the Mike Evans one, the DB trips into him.
Yeah.
And it's like, man, that stinks. And then the other part is that ball uncatchable? I think it is a catchable ball. I think the one in the end zone that caused the Honey Badger goat right. fight was just excellent, you know.
I go a few different ways because there are some instances where it's going to be like a clear path foul, right? Where the D-back is beat on a long pass and he just grabs a jersey and flings the receiver to the ground. Maybe that shouldn't be 15 yards. But for the most part, I would agree with you. Go to the college rule, make it 15 yards. You're getting too much bang for your buck.
I know they're superhuman and can make, decisions in a thousandth of a second and all that kind of stuff. And quick twitch reaction and all that. I don't think that they're this thing about like, oh, DBs will smarten up and just start taking the 15 yard penalty instead of getting burnt. I don't think there are that many people that can react in that moment of time, can assess like, I either take a penalty here or this is like, I don't think they can process it that fast to
here's what I worry about with the, I don't think that's 15, if they know they have an option for 15 yards rather, I mean, how many referees are swallowing the whistle because they're thinking they're swinging the game on a ticky-tack 40-yard pass, whereas if they know it's going to only be a 15-yard penalty, they're like, eh, all right, I'll throw the flag there. I don't really want to see more flags. I feel like the receivers are helped more. So in a way, yardage-wise, they wouldn't be rewarded for as much for the penalties, but you might see more penalties. I want the competition committee to get together with the referee crew and say, hey, you missed 40 uncatchable balls this year. Can we do something about that? You just didn't call it.
I mean, the one that got him to the goal line, yeah, was an atrocity. I mean, yeah. that was not a catchable ball by any human.
Just all year.
Except so anyway, Max McGee. He could have reached up with a long arm and got it.
Even my wife was angered by the ref. She's like, oh, this Tom Brady gets every call. Mahomes' mother. Did you see she reached out? Who brought that up? Joel? What did she say? What's her name? Molly Mahomes?
Yeah, she
tweeted when the referees are on Brady's team, this is what happens. And then I don't think she deleted it, but then went on to say how wonderful Brady's parents are. She met him after the game, but that tweet stood up there. So
it's always nice. You have true. Giselle spoke up for Tom Brady. That was nice. What was your Sal though? And it really isn't one that anyone at NFL Films, I don't think really makes the decision on. I think it's our opinion on this. What is the image, the iconic image of Super Bowl 55? You think like, the Dolphins complete their undefeated season in 1972. Mm. It's great. 14-7, everything else. If there's one image burned into our collective brain, it's Garo Yepremia trying to throw a ball. That's the takeaway of that game. Right. John Stallworth in 14 catching one. I mean, like there are certain images from Malcolm Butler.
Let me think about in game, but post game, it's Gronk and Brady celebrating. It's like holy crap, they did this to us again.
It could be that. I would. But, you know what I'll say? It is. While you think about it, I think the image that when you look back 10 years from now, the image you'll see is. Who was it who did that? Antoine Winfield, pieced Tyreek Hill. And I like everybody up on Mount Pius weighing in about how there's no place for that and everything else. I'm pretty sure, maybe I'm wrong. I think Tyreek Hill thought it was funny. Didn't he
got him back, by the way.
Yeah. I thought he was amused by it. Yeah. He's like, that was good. I got to give you credit. That was pretty good, is what he was saying.
Carolla has a crazy take on the taunting thing, and it's a little rough for our crowd, but he talks about how a lot of players have seen people close to them die growing up. Why is taunting even a penalty? Like these guys could take it, right? Why do they have to add 15 to a little finger wag or something? It's kind of silly. I agree that you don't want to turn a game on that. I will say, I don't know, the Lombardi hologram, maybe, is an iconic image.
Shout out to... By the way, shout out to two of your cousins and a couple of things there. First of all, Jonathan Kimmel's Al Davis puts that one to shame. if you've not heard it, it's the best. And not too far from his Al Davis is Jimmy's Elmer Higgins, who is officially my favorite of all due respect to all the other Crank Anchors characters. Elmer Higgins is the one that makes me laugh the hardest most consistently. And Kimmel wins the award. I don't know how you want to do best worst commercials, but Kimmel has two different Super Bowl commercial.
In the same, block. It was a Jack Hole dominated commercial block, right?
Yeah, pretty crazy. Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't stick around for a lot of, I was doing a lot of tallying, as is the case during the commercial. And by the way, watching the Super Bowl was very weird this year. This was the first time, Dave, I have not watched a Super Bowl at my house, or that I have watched at my house in 20 years. I actually, I think you were at that party. I think it was Rams Titans. And it was your idea to invite our boss from Sports Geniuses. And I'm like, all right, that's fine. But it was like 20 years ago. Maybe that's not how it worked out. I don't know. But anyway,
that was the last time.
I've either been at the game, I've been at Corolla's warehouse or something, or I've been at Jimmy's party. And it was just weird watching with the same group of idiots. And I know they think I'm an idiot, my family, that I watched the Royal Rumble with the week before. And otherwise I was just watching it over text with you and various text chains. So it was very strange viewing experience.
And it 20 years ago, mm-hmm. we were in New Orleans and we watched the St. Louis Rams get upset.
Yeah, that was the 20 years
ago. Kurt Warner
right?
going for his second Lombardi Award, a dominant Rams team.
Stupid.
Down in, again, like I say, what was it? February of 2002. We watched, and Tom Brady won the Super Bowl in 2002. Well,
like, this can't happen again.
And we watched this, and I mean, the entire run of watching these Super Bowls with you has included Tom Brady. I don't know what to make of it.
Oh, is it me? Creepy. You're blaming me?
No, I'm just saying that's, I mean, to put it into our own personal purview, that's a crazy thing that Tom Brady has been around. Forever ago we were at that dumb Super Bowl with Cordell Stewart throwing interceptions and, oh, wow, I guess the Patriots are going to the Super Bowl where the Rams are going to blow them out. That was 20 years ago. Tom Brady got his first one in that one, and here we are 20 years later. I don't even know what to make of it.
Zero sense, and he can get another one. He could easily get another one. Let's go over the odds for next year. Oh, my God. All right, Super Bowl, Kansas City favored at 5-1. Usually you get them at 6-1. So five, they're out for blood. Plus 950 for Tampa Bay, 11-1 Buffalo, Green Bay 11, Rams 12, Niners 13-1. Interesting. They're in the top six there. Ravens 14-1, Saints 19-1, Seahawks 20. Dave, I'm looking for your Steelers. They're 31-1. I'm looking for my Cowboys. They're 33-1. I don't know. What is it with this thing with the losing team of the Super Bowl? They go into like hibernation. You kind of don't see them for a while. In fact, they fall apart the following year. Does that happen to the Chiefs? Probably not, but I wouldn't have thought it would happen to the Niners either.
Generally speaking, well, I mean, that you know, Madden curse, whatever, curse of Sposta, whatever, the curse of all curses is going to the Super Bowl and losing it. There's not a great track record in the last 20 years for those teams. Obviously premature, but that's what makes it fun to do. We don't know where Deshaun Watson's going to land. That's the biggest factor of them all. If the Niners had gotten Matthew Stafford last week, I would say that's the team that goes to the Super Bowl out of the NFC right now. I don't think you're going to see a lot of immediate skepticism for like, yeah, but Brady's now 44, so he can't do that again. And how many times are we going to play that game? Eventually, you're going to be right about that one. What is the Super Bowl pick, though, Sal? Go ahead. Give us your final four. Give us your final four. I don't care where the Cowboys and Steelers are. We don't know where Dak Prescott's going to be. I know you're insistent that if they tag him or they don't, there's a chance Dak moves. That's another major chip.
I think he's on that team. I think he falls on that team. The Kellen Moore stuff, everything I'm seeing indicates that he'll stick with them. And just knowing Jerry Jones, I don't think he's going to take a wild swing here. But I am. And I'm going to say the Browns at 22-1 odds are good. Is a good number. And the Rams at 12-1 odds. And that could easily, not easily, but I could see the path for that being the Super Bowl. Go ahead. Give me yours.
I love the Rams pick. Browns, I guess. I don't know that Baker Mayfield.
They're one score away from making it to the championship game. They're not the Browns anymore, I don't think. The old Browns. But who do you say?
I threw the question out. I hate people who ask trivia questions and then don't have the answer themselves. I just threw one out at you and I didn't have the answer here.
Well, you know each team in every conference, right?
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
I know who's in. I know who plays football. Now let me think for a moment, please. Here, just play some Jeopardy music or whatever while I ponder this.
So we're Patriots 37-1. I'm reading.
I got to put the 44. Bills in there. Bills, right?
Bills are good at 11-1. Why not? I think MVP odds for Josh Allen. I kind of like those at about 7 or 8 to 1. But Bills to win the Super Bowl 11-1, pretty good. I think they win that division by a sizable amount.
I mean the hip pick. Well, I think the Browns are going to be a hip pick. The Bills are going to be a hip pick. We'll see if Deshaun Watson lands in Miami. That would swing things significantly. They don't have a quarterback, and so this is loco, but your Super Bowl 56 AFC representative is going to be the Indianapolis Colts. The small matter of who their QB is will be resolved in time for September. The Deshaun Watson thing, like we talk about too, is it's setting up that they're going to hold on to him until the draft. I think.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they have
not beyond the draft.
So it's just a mind game, right? Like, how much do you think he's bluffing here? I'm like, oh my God, if he was serious about sitting out in March and now it's August, we really screwed up, right?
Yeah. And stop listening to all these. The fact that it's news that a GM or whomever is asked in the franchise, like, what do you think about the quarterback who's on your roster right now, or this guy who's on your roster right now? It's like, when people are like, oh, well, it sounds like they like him because they said nice things. Well, what are they going to do? There's no incentive to badmouth a guy who's on your roster right now. And there's no reason for the Texans to announce like, oh, yeah, Deshaun Watson. Yeah, he's yesterday's news. We're moving on from him and all that guy. There's no, of course, you're playing a little bit of poker. You ever see Rounders? I mean, come on, everybody. You got to attempt a poker face to some degree. Don't listen to this jive.
Let's talk about FanDuel real quick. Let's jump off, because now you're right, Dave. We're pivoting into basketball, NBA with FanDuel Sportsbook. It's easy to use, easy to register, fast withdrawals when you win. You get paid in as little as 24 hours, odds boosts, specials every day. You get big super boosts, live betting. Oh, my God. You can place your bet fast during a game. If you see a trend, you're like, that's a great thing. If you bet a team, they're down 20 points, like, you're not out of it. Jump back in it. Jump back in. Watch the second, third quarter. Download FanDuel Sportsbook app today. Try a same game parlay and use promo code extra points at sign up. That's FanDuel.com/extra points. You can talk about player point totals, rebounds, assists. You can do the money line, over under, and the spread. It's called the same game parlay. You can find them only at FanDuel. That's FanDuel.com/extra points. Let's talk about the awards. I love the way the NFL does it. It's the Saturday night before the Super Bowl. Why not? You know, the NBA has their finals, and then you have to wait incrementally weeks before MVP, Rookie of the Year, Coach of the Year. No, get it all out of the way Saturday night. And the one, the most controversial was Aaron Donald over TJ Watt for Defensive Player of the Year. Dave, I don't know your thoughts on this. Both great players. TJ Watt had the stats on Donald this year, but I had Donald to win MVP at like 6-1. So I was very pleased with this. JJ weighs in. Talk about sticking up for your family. You got Mahomes' mother. And now JJ Watt, you know, gives Donald credit. Great player. But TJ should have been the Defensive Player of the Year. I think they play two different positions. And the fact that Aaron Donald is even in the conversation, he should win it every time. What do you think?
I hear you that, yeah, Aaron Donald is going to go down in history as one of the three or so best defensive interior linemen, yes, and probably he's going to be on the list of the top three or five defensive players in pro football history and all of that. But TJ Watt, I think, I'm going to play Homer here and say TJ Watt should have gotten it for his specific 2020 deeds.
You don't even seem that convinced about it. As homerish as you are, you're not even
mighty argument to do.
How about in general, an interior lineman that puts up similar numbers to an edge rusher who doesn't get double teamed as much shouldn't win the award? I mean, it's a different position. Who's a better offensive player, Ryan Tannehill or Derrick Henry? Tannehill has more passing. He has more touchdowns. He has more yards. No, but that's not. They play different positions. Henry is limited because he doesn't get as many touches or as Tannehill would get throws. I just feel it's the same thing, generally speaking, as fun
as it is to watch Aaron Donald, there aren't the so-called splash plays that you get from TJ Watt or somebody else out there. But I do think that that 90 impacted games significantly himself. It's not, you know, the entire scheme. And there's a case to be made that that's why Bud Dupree is going to make a lot of money, as good as Bud Dupree is, because of what TJ Watt did. But I mean, also, you know, are the Rams anywhere close to the playoffs if Aaron Donald isn't on that team? I suspect no. I think he's kind of the linchpin. I think that if you do the math backwards, that Sean McVay just dumped Jared Goff and they went to the playoffs and they went to the Super Bowl a couple of years ago. Obviously, Todd Gurley, Goff, and otherwise aren't the central figures of this nice little Rams run. It would seem it's Aaron Donald. I get it. I don't have deep thoughts on it. I'm just bad.
All right.
They're both dominant players. I can see the case for Aaron Donald. I definitely think TJ Watt, though, in a 2-year snapshot, has kind of gotten a raw deal now that you look at it, as great as he's been, and he comes away with zero trophies.
Maybe I'm down on the Steelers because my son Jack's birthday was this weekend. And it sucks. We can't throw a party for him. We can't even have him see the grandparents because we're quarantining here. So my wife orders this big display. I guess you could rent displays with everything that's your kid likes or whatever. I don't know. It just popped up in our yard and now it's gone. But Jim Cunningham, I sent you a picture. Look what goes on in my middle. Jack Romo. Now I name him Romo. I figure it's a slam dunk that he's a Cowboys fan, but no, Dave, he likes the Steelers because of freaking Heinz ketchup. He's infatuated with Heinz ketchup. Steelers play at Heinz Field. Nobody else plays at Heinz Field. Jim Cunningham, pull this picture up. My son, Jack, in front of this crazy display, which has dogs and I don't know whatever else that he loves. There's a parrot in there. And then there's a giant, there's a Steelers helmet and the logo. And that sat on the lawn for 2 days. And I love the kid, but now everyone in the neighborhood knows that a Steelers fan lives in my house. And I'm not happy about it. What are you doing to me, Jack? Come on. My God, you talk about a troll job against a hidden camera prankster for life. And look what he's doing.
I love
to me,
it. It's great. I love the message that the fates are sending to Cousin Sal. He thought it was funny growing up in Long Island to turn against his old man and everybody else.
Not funny.
And be a contrarian and root for the Dallas Cowboys and love the Cowboys so much that he names his own son Romo. And lo and behold, revenge, I don't know, serve cold, serve black and gold.
Look how happy big that display is. I don't have a lot of grass here in California. It's covering all the grass. I don't know what to say to him, other than if you want to see 14, you might have to switch allegiances here. I don't like that.
Jack always has a home up here, you know, I don't know that he wants to make the house swap, but if he ever wants to come here and be surrounded and cloaked in black and gold, he's more than welcome.
All right. Anytime, I'll give him a map and hopefully he can get to Mount Pius, but I'm not promising you anything. That's very nice of you. It's a nice offer.
How dare you, sir? How dare you? I'm a human being living down here. I'm down here with the people.
I hate this. I hate it. Speaking of Romo, Jimmy and I reach out to him. There are Romo props all over the place. Will he mention his kids was even odds. That seemed easy enough. He's like, of course I'm going to mention my kids, he says to us. Guess what he forgot to mention? His freaking kids.
Wow.
Maybe they all have Steelers placards in the front yard. Maybe he's like, screw it, I'm not mentioning. Maybe he has the same deal as I do.
What does Romo, what's his reaction to that? Does he think you're a weirdo when he interacts with his namesake? What is it? Because he's met the little boy, right?
I think he did at first. Well, that's a thing. He's Jack has, the other two would go crazy if Romo showed any interest in him. Jack was like, I'm like, Jack, come over, meet, you were named after him. Jack doesn't care. Romo cared way more. It's probably the only situation where the athlete cares more to meet the kid than the other way around. And I was like, my God, what have I done here? So happy birthday, Jack. More awards, Dave. Rodgers wins MVP. No surprise. Gets engaged to Shailene Woodley. That's a little bit of a surprise. I don't know. Maybe he should have been a little more focused. Instead of, it needs to get engaged the week after. I don't know. It's funny. Rodgers had a good week because Pettine was fired. And And you got now all of a sudden Jared Goff's in the division. And now you might have Carson Wentz in the division. Everyone's talking about him leaving, he's fleeing ship. But I don't know. Is he going to get a better situation division-wise than what we just set up?
Yeah, I know. That it is the sky is falling kind of thing. And now people in Kansas City are kind of doing that as well. You know, it is a reminder. We talk and every chapter week after week, it's why pro football is the most compelling. It's because of the once a week installments that we get. And then we meditate on them for the next 7 days until we get another chapter to dig into and everything else. But then as soon as you close the book, nothing matters except the team that won. There's right. some hand wringing going on now in Kansas City. We're now 2 weeks away from Green Bay, and we kind of moved on. And now you can kind of pick your head up a little bit as a Packers fan and say, like, so are we in good position for the NFC in 2021 with Aaron Rodgers? And the answer is yes. That team should be back in there. Wait, I didn't even give you my NFC one, if anybody even cares.
Oh, what'd you say? Yeah.
I mean, are you going to take, you said the Rams, so you don't think the Buccaneers. I'll go with my final four. I don't know. I'm not ready to announce.
Final four?
I'm going to have to, yeah, my final You're four. You got to just throw out a Super Bowl matchup is
You asked for final four. Elementary. You gave us one, and now.
I did not give you one. I gave you two. I said the Bills and the Colts. And I said the Colts go to the Super Bowl, even though they don't have a QB okay. yet. And then. I do like the Niners a lot. I
really?
Again, another team that doesn't have its QB yet. It's a small matter.
You don't have to take two teams in your four that we have no idea who their quarterback is going to be. I mean, if it's Brissett and Jimmy G, you're not going to be happy about those picks, right?
Fortunately, it's not going to be either one of those situations, right. So we don't have to worry about that. And I mean you know what? I'm going to go with the Giants. No, I'm not. Just kidding. That was a joke for spaghetti. I don't know. Let me meditate on it. I threw the question out.
Yeah, let us know if you have any other questions that you don't have answers to.
I have no answer to it. Listen, you're the one who people want to hear what you're laying your money on. I'll maybe the Cowboys.
I jokingly have sent the email on Fox Bet Live that I'm going to make a case for the Cowboys, and now I'm going to have to spend 45 minutes trying to figure out how to say one good thing about them.
I do like your Rams pick, but I'll tell you, here, you know who right now, who this kind of matches now in career deeds? Talk about future, what's going to be. You know, Russell Wilson, in his second year, wins the Super Bowl. In his third year, he loses the Super Bowl, and he's never been back, and he has not been particularly close, for as good as the Seahawks have been, to getting back to a Super Bowl. Patrick Mahomes.
So yes, that's or this no? is this is the comparison that everyone's making, right?
Oh, they are?
He won the Super Bowl, okay. And then he lost the second one, and then it's like, all right, yeah, you're going to be in the top five MVP-wise, but you're not in the greatest of all time talk, right?
Well, this thing about the thing about that everybody was harumphing at me about for saying that Patrick Mahomes better win this one, or they say, what, just because if Brady wins this game, that means Patrick Mahomes can never catch him in Lombardi? Yeah, that's exactly right now. It's 7-1. Do you think Patrick Mahomes, forget about six more. Do you think Patrick Mahomes wins one more? How much would you bet that Patrick Mahomes wins two more Super Bowls, Sal?
I would. Here's what I do, and our brother Brian, the degenerate trifecta, and I talk about this all the time. You see the Chiefs in the beginning of the year at 5-1 or 6-1. I think you jump on that every year, and in the next 5 years, you will be a winner. You'll make money on that bet.
Winning the Super Bowl?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Sure. You don't think in the next 5 years he wins?
I just think that what happens, it's really a fascinating thing to look at is after that one, and people were all set to do it exactly 52 weeks ago when there were 6 minutes left against the Niners, that all this mystique is now off, isn't it? I mean, do you now fear the Chiefs? Do you now think, as you sit here, like, well, I would never take the Bills against the Chiefs, or I would never take the you could beat that team.
You can beat them, and you could definitely beat them when their offensive linemen are out. And, like, you know, you have to think they'll protect them better, right? And they'll have they had the center. You guys talked about it on -3. He was not the center. He was taken off that, right? And then put right back in as center. You had to tackle out. You know, Schwartz's brother out. There was a lot of bad stuff. I don't want to say it was an anomaly. The Bucks deserve it. They beat the hell out of the Chiefs. Brady. But that's the worst you'll see the Chiefs. I don't know if you can conclude, oh, that team's beatable now based on the product they put forth. What I worry about is Kelce moving on, 31 years old. He's one of the best of all time. Maybe Gronk is the best tight end of all time. And Hill moving on. You got to keep those pieces in place so that Mahomes can work his magic for sure. But I think they get back.
Bills and Chiefs combined ran the ball minus six times this January and February or something. I'm not sure the exact number.
Less than that.
And yet those are two of the final four teams. Right. But now you look at the Bucks and Packers. And then the Saints extended to there with Alvin Kamara and his ability to run the ball. But think about now do we swing back to running does matter? Are we now on, hey, a team like the Steelers can get right if they can figure out their run game? The Browns
definitely
didn't
helps.
Get to where they got to because of Baker Mayfield. They did it because of the ability to run Chubb and Hunt at anybody. I think now, in the copycat league, we see in 2021 teams start to look to the run game a little bit more.
Yeah.
This is what happens.
Maybe.
Right?
I don't know. Either one, the crazy down your throat pass game or the grind them in the ground run game can get you so far. And then you got to win the game. Then you got to win the last game. And, I don't think there's a tried and true method anymore in 2021 of how to do it.
Well, I'll get Tom Brady on your team.
I'm looking at that right now. Brady wins a Super Bowl with the Niners. I don't know. They had too many injuries. What other teams could he have gone to? The Chargers win the Super Bowl with Brady?
Well, we talked about that last week.
The Colts win the Super Bowl with Brady?
Do
the Saints win the Super Bowl with Brady?
I think the Colts do. Mm-hmm. I think that, also if Andrew Luck doesn't retire 2 years ago, I don't think that the Chiefs are in the same spot that they are in history with two straight Super Bowl appearances.
Not.
I think the Colts get in their way if Andrew Luck could come back. And by the way, there are rumors afoot about Andrew Luck.
I saw that the GM said he's more retired now than ever. And he's like, believe me, I would love to perpetuate this rumor. But I don't know. It was in Peter King's column. I had to whiz through it, but. Yeah, that's always fun.
Ballard said that today.
I don't know. I think it was
whatever.
Ballard. I'm pretty sure it was Ballard. But if that's the case, my God, 29-1 looks mighty tasty.
Well, I mean, 2 years removed and all that is, yeah. I mean, you know, I don't know that he'd be good. But again, the big X factor is there's a lot of QBs out there. And the other thing is, too, that it's the paradox of Brady is that he's clearly not the best athlete to ever play that position. And the Patriots had a lot of defensive players down in 2020. And so we can laugh about Belichick. And by the way, where did he watch the game and what was his reaction to it? And all of that is funny, but still you had a guy who's borderline Hall of Famer in Cam Newton and Brady. The defense was really good in 2019 in New England. I mean, it was maybe the best defense in football a year ago. And so you can't, but still Brady, what was the team's record? Were they 13-3 or 12-4 in 2019? Either way. Again, Brady, I don't know, that mystique like makes everyone around him better. I think is generally a laughable kind of thing to credit a guy for, but I don't know. What do you say about that? I mean, the Buccaneers just won the Super Bowl. The Buccaneers, I know who he attracted and with some pieces that otherwise would have gone down
there.
Well,
that's the thing. That was the weird thing, right? So he wins the big game and it really, I don't want to say it had nothing to do with having the shiny pieces of Mike Evans and Godwin and Antonio Brown around him. What he didn't have in New England, I guess he had Antonio Brown, but it ended up being the defense that won it for him. It plays crazy games with your minds. And Belichick, we had a fun with a fake Twitter account, Bill Belichick. The social media team set it up and he was tweeting nasty things about Brady. And I think it has hundreds of followers. By the way, the big tweet out of all of us, out of all the whole Extra Points Network, Dave, I'm going to have you guess. Joel Solomon tweets something about the halftime. They come out in masks, right? I missed it because we did the check-in. They come out in masks and Joel Don't give away the punchline yet, but say what was your tweet exactly?
It was.
You should remember. This is the greatest moment of your life. You shouldn't. You need to know this.
The weekend, all the dancers had masks on, and I said, "This is the most masked people have worn in Florida in months."
Okay, funny tweet. Funny enough, cute. Dave. How many likes?
And this was a very popular one. You're saying?
Just based. You have all the information in front.
400. 400.
400.
Yeah.
Joel, hit him with it. How many likes did it get?
We're at 300,000.
What? What in hell?
Go ahead. Just delete your Twitter account now. I mean, it's a fine joke, Joel. It's funny. It's good as I saw yesterday.
I mean, 300,000 likes. Dave didn't retweet it. I didn't see it.
First of all, I didn't see it. 31,000.
31,000.
Dave retweeted it.
31,000 retweets. 300,000 likes. That's to me 300,000 people liking it. How many people were watching the Super Bowl?
Oh, my goodness. Move over, Music City Miracle. We got a new one. The Tampa St. Pete. I don't know what.
Congratulations, Joel. 300,000.
I mean, I don't think there's a greater achievement in the 21st century than, you know.
I'm going to take the day off, Sal.
You got it. Dave's going to hang himself with his own headphones here. I want to go over a couple more awards here. Stefanski, no problem with that. Coach of the year. Chase Young, defensive rookie of the year. Fine. The numbers were all there. Justin Herbert. Offensive rookie of the year. Great job. Does the team doctor get to handle that trophy? Yeah, I think should they Monday, Wednesday, Friday it with that, because he doesn't even get in for the season if not for that doctor gaffe. Yeah, for sure. Here's the one that people are giving me crap over in my own cohorts at Fox Bet Live. Alex Smith gets it over Big Ben. I say gets over Big Ben. There were 50 votes. Alex Smith at 49. Big Ben had one. I held on as long as I could with the idea that Big Ben should win this award. And it wasn't even that long. It was 3 weeks. I just had a problem with Alex Smith plays one game and he's minus 500 to win the award. He should win the award. It's great. I've heard people say they should name the award after him, but I'm taking so much shit from Bonetta and Clay Travis and Todd Ferber. I'm like, really? I don't know. If he had played one game, he was going to win the award. And Big Ben at that time was going undefeated and still had one of his top three seasons, Dave, if you look at his numbers for offensive output. So I need to clear my name with that. Good job, Alex Smith. You get it. You should win the award. And it's funny, though, that one person did vote for Big Ben. Dave, do you have a vote in this? Were you the one that did it? What was it?
There you go. I was just going to say, I got 30,000 tweets at me asking if I was the one voter. And I laughed equally at each one sent to me. And I laugh the same here now. I mean, if it's based on quality of performance, I don't know. Like, it really is kind of getting diabolical. It's kind of like, you ever see like, how you get workers' comp. Have you ever seen the standards for workers' comp and all that kind of stuff?
No,
it's like
sure.
If you've lost one limb, then you get this amount. If you lose two limbs, it's this amount. Like, it's like, oh my God, it's really that ghoulish. They like do it based on limb count. It kind of feels that way. It's like, yeah, but Roethlisberger's the better quarterback, but also Alex Smith's leg literally looks like this and he runs around on it. Like,
right,
actually,
right.
He deserves extra credit for that. All right. Good. Yeah. Terrific. I don't think you should be out there still playing on that leg.
I know.
Look so right. The leg is crooked,
award,
man.
Even his fans like were wincing every time he went out there.
Good for you.
He wins.
Point proven, Alex Smith. I think you should retire, man. I don't know. I'm not a doctor, but
yeah, that maybe should be it. But great job. Wins the award. They can name it.
I do.
I'm fine.
I do like maybe that should be the trophy is his crooked leg, but it does remind me because of perseverance. I'm not mocking everybody. I'm celebrating.
For sure. Great story. One of the great stories of the year.
I will say Man of the Year award is the coolest trophy in football. If it's the Lombardi's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Sal, we gotta. Leaving the world a better place than we found it. We should start a campaign to name the MVP trophy. We need a cool trophy. The Heisman Trophy should not be cooler than the NFL MVP.
Right.
Everybody
right.
knows who won the Heisman, though. Nobody knows who won the MVP because it's just a dumb, meaningless trophy. We need to name it after the right guy, come up with the cool pose, and go from there. And this will make the MVP
Let's do
more
it.
Valuable.
You know what? Joel has got the ear of America. He had 300,000 likes, so maybe he should do it. And by the way, we could celebrate Joel's accomplishments, and then we could chastise him and his buddy, heel producer Jim Cunningham, who many, many months ago came up with the phrase Champa Bay. We said, make the damn T-shirts. Get it out there. Like, but now the Rays lost the World Series. So it's lost. It's lost. I'm like, no, there's still time. Well, now there's no time. Champa Bay. I heard Jim Nance say it last night. Just like Dave, when Al Michaels mentioned Maroon 4. Like, well, all right. Now you lost all connection to it, sadly. Joel, Jim, shame on you for not trademarking Champa Bay. What do you have to say for yourself?
I specifically said to Jim, we really need to trademark Champa Bay. Mm. He said he was going to do it. And then he said, I thought you were going to do it. And it
Jim, what do you think? Oh, Jim, maybe that's
a lie. That's a total lie.
Maybe that's your T-shirt. I thought he was going to do it. That's a fun T-shirt, too. That could be, right? That's like, perfect. That's the new I'm with stupid. I thought he was going to do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I like that. All right. So
I don't know. Just like Dave lost the fantasy football trophy, another lost opportunity.
Oh, man. Dave, what's
tweet it, dude. Tweet it.
Dave, before you go designing new trophies, maybe find the one that you lost. That is an interesting point. Joel, just put your tweet on a T-shirt and see if you try to sell that. Unbelievable. Tom Brady Babyface. Should not be the story. I know. Babyface Joel Solomon. All right. Hey, Crown Royal believes being a royal fan this season means staying safe, generously supporting your community, drinking responsibly while rooting on your team. That is how to crown your game day. Even at home, you still get to enjoy your favorite game day cocktails. Just remember to take a water break in between. Why not? Stay hydrated. Don't be that person that ruins game day for your friends and family. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. My Crown Royal Athlete of the Week is Drew Pearson, Hall of Famer Drew Pearson, the original number 88 for the Cowboys. Yes, first team all decade of the 70s. He made it to 3 Super Bowls. He won one, 48 touchdowns, wide receiver great, retired as the leading receiver in Cowboys history. Somehow still fourth overall. That's pretty good. They throw the ball all over the place now. Fourth in receiving yards, 70 years old. He invented the Hail Mary, Dave. I don't know if you understood that. Teams maybe, if not for Drew Pearson's Hail Mary reception against pushed the Vikings. Off. Stop he it. He did off. Not. He did not. They wouldn't have called that. Referees don't call that. They don't call uncatchable. They don't call push-offs. He invented the Hail Mary. We may never have seen a Hail Mary if not for Drew Pearson. Congratulations at 70 years old. He was weeping. So was I Saturday. He wins the award. He is my Crown Royal Athlete of the Week. Who is yours, Dave?
Yeah, all due respect, Lynn Swann, Harold Jackson, anyone else, best receiver of the 70s. It was Loco. He wasn't in the Hall of Fame. Glad that that has been rectified. Mine is, though, as we talk about history and the figures in it who will resonate beyond our days on the big blue marble, Tom Brady. I know it's an obvious one, but when he wins a title, it requires then that all the people who care about sports history look at it and say, is he now better than Michael Jordan, Bill Russell, LeBron James, anyone else you want to throw in? The answer is yes. Gives me no pleasure that Tom Brady, the key figure for the Patriots, it proves it is not about Belichick or anyone else. It is about Tom Brady in a world of superhumans. On the Pro Football Gridiron now for 20 some years that anybody would win 7 Lombardi trophies and play the central role in winning those is beyond my ability to fathom, let alone that it is this pedestrian looking guy. The greatest compliment I can give Tom Brady is that he is Indiana Jones, basically. Mm. It makes no sense that Dr. Jones always comes out on top. It is basically pro football. Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs are basically the bald Nazi who's shirtless fighting by the prop plane.
Is that right?
It's basically like that. And you know that the bald-headed Nazi is going to beat Dr. Jones, except that that propeller comes around and chops up that guy. And you think, fluke. But this keeps happening. And Dr. Jones, no, I mean Tom Brady, keeps on rising to the top and winning it. He is the action hero of the 21st century.
You know,
do I like it? I don't know. Do I respect it? Indeed.
You know, Crown Royal said, he's like, they came to us. They said, I love yours and Dave's Athlete of the Week segment. Can we ramp up the Nazi talk a little? I was like, okay, here we are.
For the record, that was negative. That was negative.
No, I get it. Well,
I guess it wasn't right to compare Patrick Mahomes to that guy. I don't mean it like that.
We see where you're getting.
But if Patrick Mahomes would have sat down in that barber chair, for all we know, he would have wound up bald headed.
That is unbelievable.
I don't know. So maybe that could have. But anyway.
Crown Royal, the perfect addition to your NFL game day. Don't forget, stay hydrated, drink responsibly. Not just NFL, NBA. NHL, all of them. That was a Crown Royal water break. Moderate your drinking on game day. Stay hydrated, stay royal. More tips on how to crown your game day. Visit at Crown Royal on Instagram. Dave, what do I say? Okay, Peyton Manning, Woodson, Calvin Johnson, John Lynch. No problem with any of these. Tom Flores, if you look at a quarter of his record, as Peter King turned out, well under 500 with the Seahawks, but the two Super Bowls gets him in. Alan Faneca. That was the one, right? Faneca, Baselli. There was a lot of talk about that. That seemed to go 50-50.
Black and gold, 66. What else is new in the Hall of Fame? That makes sense. Bill Nunn, noteworthy.
A scout, right? Steelers scout?
Yeah, and Pittsburgh if you scout. Go through it, I mean, it's old news to people who track draft stuff, but Bill Nunn, found all those guys that were that loomed large in those 70 Steelers years at HBCUs. Yes, he belonged in the Hall of Fame, and I'm glad he gets in. But now I feel like, and we could, you know what, we could do this, you know, any other time.
Let's do it any other time. Let's read an email.
I'll just say Don Coryell. Let's get at the coaching level. Don Coryell. Let's go, everybody.
Oh, you like that. Air Coryell get in there. Okay, let's go to theextrapointsgang@gmail.com. Reach out to us. We have a lot of friendly emails, some not so friendly. I don't care. Oh. We'll take both. This is an interesting one. Not heard this take before. Nathan Reese says, after watching the game, I'm starting to think it's a shame Brady wasted so many years of his career playing for that dope of a coach. He should have double-digit Super Bowl wins by now. Cheers, Nathan Reese. Interesting. So not only could Brady do it on his own, but Belichick held him back. Had not heard that before.
Well, as Ross Tucker pointed out and inspired an NFL at one point, if Archie Manning doesn't meet Olivia Manning at Ole Miss, then Tom Brady has at this point like 12 Super Bowls.
Yeah, that's true. There you go. Wow. So much to think about. And what's weird is, David, we say like, all right, retire the argument that Brady has any competitors in the greatest of all time discussion. But who the hell wants to retire an argument? It's not good for idiots like me. What do we do if all these arguments are retired eventually?
Stop talking about that. And stop also talking about Bill Russell's 60 Celtics. That's not a comparison we have seen.
We're going to have nothing to talk about except Joel's tweets eventually. All right, Dave, you're at Damashek.
Yes, a new -3 will be coming at you later in the week. In the meantime, shout out to everybody. This isn't the proper forum necessarily, but shout out to the great Chris Wessling, who passed away
after a few years of
bad times. But I choose in the here and now to celebrate the good times. I mean, I say it and I sit here talking to my guy, Cousin Sal, and I feel like I'm on the right side of life. That, I mean, I joke all the time, living over surviving. That's the thing, you know, that to really live, get to work with your pals. And Chris Wessling got to do that in the last 8 years of his life. He did something special. People cared about it, but he's the winner for getting to do that. And let alone he met his wife, had a nice little boy. Heartbreaking stuff there. But if there's a takeaway that can inspire you, try to get to do that. Because whether it's yapping about sports or whatever, getting to work with your pals is cheating life.
And, you know, and I hate to bookend it with more misery, but Pedro Gomez was a very friendly guy. I've met him probably three times. He was very nice to me and Guillermo. We met him at the ballpark a couple times. Came to Jimmy Kimmel Live, spent some time with him. Very sweet man. Also dedicated sports reporter. Everybody who knew him loved him. Was taken from us early yesterday at a Super Bowl party. And a heart attack. So that sucks too. It just seems like 2020 is just never going to end. I feel, you know, I get that it's cliche to say that, but for God's sakes, when this happens back to back like that, really, really sucks and really hurts. And yeah, apologies to their families. Yeah, let's try to stay healthy, guys. I don't know. This is it's already depressing that football season's over, but I do want to, And also, I have to say, sorry to Eddie Spaghetti's parents, Freddie and Betty Spaghetti. They lost that money. I mean, what would you guys have done with that money, do you think? What would you have done?
I would have purchased a jet ski probably with my cut of it. Just something real fun. I'm just taking Dave's advice to start living instead of surviving. So nothing useful that I'm not going to, you know, put it towards, you know, savings for our future. It's a jet ski. I'll dock it in Marina Del Rey.
Where's that jet ski? At the bottom of the sea. Eddie Spaghetti took a seat on it. And the rest is history.
Yeah, Dave, I don't know.
Eddie Spaghetti, we're worried about your eating. Please get it under control. Between that and the hairdo, I don't know what.
He went an XL jet ski.
He did the Justin Herbert in honor of the offensive rookie of the year. You got the Herbert. All right, Eddie, be careful on the jet ski. I don't know if that's living over surviving. if you can't survive the jet ski. Special reminder to by the way, yes, extra points, extra chance. Final submissions have to be in if you want Harry to hand you $5,555. Maybe people don't like Harry. Maybe that's a thing. Maybe I should have changed it to Joel Solomon, who the public seems to be in love with. There you go. Right? Babyface.
Most masks in Florida in months.
At the Cousin Sal. Hit me up there. Reminder to everyone out there, you may feel like underdogs, but please remember, you're all my favorites. See you Wednesday.